Okay, I think we're live. Okay, right. Well, let's kick off, and I'll start with the usual introduction. And thanks for everyone for joining. My name is Elliot Davies. I'm the founder of cybersecurity recruitment firm Quantahire, and also the OT Security Connect community, where we bring together ICS and OT security leaders to share insights and tackle shared challenges. I'm delighted today to be joined by Joe Gardner and Awais Rashid, the co-founders of ICS security training company Hacktonyx. Something myself, Joe, and Awais are all passionate about is increasing the talent pool of OT cybersecurity people and staff. And a large number of organizations in critical infrastructure suffer with a short supply of technical experts who are comfortable with engineering in both OT systems and cybersecurity. And this skills gap, it hinders a lot of adoption around new technologies and policies, which slows down the progress towards robust cybersecurity, resilience, and regulatory compliance. And for those aiming to break into OT security, navigating the right training paths and getting experiences in the first place can present its own set of barriers. And, you know, a lot of training at the moment, you know, isn't as accessible as it could be. So it's my pleasure today to be able to showcase Hacktonyx and the practical and accessible training opportunities that Joe and Awais have been building. So I'm going to hand over to the team to introduce the business with a short presentation. We're going to follow this up with some audience involvement. So, you know, if you've got questions, please leave them in the comments and we'll make this an interactive sort of Q&A following the presentation. So Awais, I'll hand over to you and get cracking.
Okay, thank you very much, Elliot, for having us. I'm together with Joe and Louise Evans, one of the founders and directors of Hacktonyx. Just by way of background, in my day job, I am also a professor of cybersecurity at the University of Bristol. And a lot of this, what we do, builds on our academic and practical expertise. I'm going to just share my slides. Right. Okay. So I'm going to just give you a bit of an overview of why bridging the operational technology or OT security skills gap is really, really important, and why we are taking the approach that we are taking, and also the kind of resources that the community does need in this area, and that we are aiming to provide along with the training that we deliver to various organizations. So just a brief background on Hacktonyx. We provide training on cybersecurity of industrial control systems and operational technology. This builds on our over 20 years of expertise collectively in this area. Between us, we have a lot of experience of building hands-on training programs, as well as test environments, test beds. So, you know, personally, I've been involved in building about three different, you know, editions of fairly extensive testbed environments, and Joe has also been involved, and we are currently working on another one. And then collectively over 40 years of expertise in cybersecurity in general. I've been fortunate enough, I guess, to work in this area from very early days, from when new viruses were coming out. And, you know, frankly, I did not know at that point that this was going to be a job, or this was even possibly a job. We were just trying to learn about these interesting new things that were arising. But back to the whole area of OT security, our philosophy as an organization is that we want to provide people with hands-on experience on real devices and systems, because we are talking here cyber-physical environments. And as a result, it's really, really important for people to have direct experience on the types of devices, the types of platforms, software, and hardware that is being utilized in these kind of environments. And those opportunities are often quite rare. So on the screen, you see one of our training boxes. This is equipment that we build ourselves at the University of Bristol, and is utilized as part of the company's training, where we go and we actually deliver hands-on training on the devices that are built into these boxes. And we actually tend to use boxes built for different vendors because there's a variety of vendors, as I will come to. So let's talk about why the need for OT security skills is really, really critical. And there is loads and loads of drivers. Okay, so you know, here on the screen, you have got like the a notice from a number of major security agencies, including the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, but the CISA in the US, you know, Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, etc., highlighting pro-Russia hacktivist activity against OT environments. And of course, we in the UK also, there are regulatory requirements. So, you know, we've got the Network and Information Systems Regulation. In the EU, there is now NIS2 that is coming in. There is NCSC's Cyber Assessment Framework that provides principles that critical infrastructure organizations need to adhere to. And regulators are using those principles to also provide profiles that they expect in terms of security for critical infrastructure organizations to meet, because depending on your sector, you may need a different profile. And of course, as the new government has come in, there is the Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill that is going through Parliament at the moment. And that is pretty much being seen as the kind of the mirror, or not exactly the mirror, but the similar to what would be NIS2 across the EU. But the key thing is we do need people with OT security skills to meet these geopolitical, these regulatory requirements, these requirements for setting up our systems in a resilient manner as required by frameworks such as the NCSC's CAF. But there is an OT security gap. So we always hear about the cybersecurity workforce gap. The annual report comes out from ISC Squared, and it usually sits at always about 3 to 4 million, right? And there is no denying that there is a major cybersecurity workforce gap around the world. But there is also a disparity between what I would call the IT security gap and the OT security gap. So yes, we need more IT security people, but actually we have comparatively very small number of OT security people, but at the same time we have really large scale infrastructures that serve our societal needs on a daily basis: water, power, manufacturing, transportation, all these things on which we rely every day, and they use a whole variety of vendors, platforms, etc. And we need to be able to understand where the security vulnerabilities and risks there are, but also how do we improve the security state of these infrastructures? What kind of controls and mechanisms would actually help us, you know, protect against some of the attacks, especially those that are likely to come from highly resourced attackers, for example, nation state backed attackers or APTs. And that's really where we need many more people to actually address the gap. And given the geopolitical situation, the risks and the threats are going to continue to increase rather than diminish. So there is also another type of gap. So in IT security, we, of course, deal with computers, servers, cloud environments, networks, and we have a range of tools available to us. Kali Linux is, of course, very, very well known. We ourselves have been using it for a very, very long time. And it provides a suite of tools that security researchers and practitioners can use to, for example, investigate possible security vulnerabilities, understand where the issues might be, test particular systems and platforms, and depending on the kind of things that you want to do, you've got a suite of tools available to you, often categorized in a very systematic manner. The OT security landscape is very different. Yes, there are computers and servers and things like that, and increasingly use of cloud platforms where legacy systems are being IoT-fied and the data being pulled into the cloud. But here we are dealing with power plants, water treatment and distribution systems. We're dealing with manufacturing environments, and we are actually dealing with programmable logic controllers. We are dealing with remote terminal units. We are dealing with human-machine interfaces that do not have the capabilities of what we find on our regular tablets and devices. And in a lot of these cases, of course, as we know, security isn't built into the systems, or security is retrofitted and doesn't always meet the kind of levels of security that we have come to take for granted in many cases within existing IT systems, or the baselines that we expect to achieve. But we also do not have platforms that are similar to Kali Linux. Over the years, there have been some attempts at kind of rolling some of these platforms together, but they haven't really gone very far. And for example, in our own work, you know, for quite a while, we've been building effectively our own kind of variant of Kali to try and provide the training that we provide. So there is a gap. If you're coming into OT security, how do you understand the nuances of the various types of devices that you are supposed to deal with, the various networking protocols that you're supposed to deal with, the security implications of things going wrong, but also what tools are at your disposal to actually investigate those things, and how do you go about utilizing those tools? So this in itself presents a barrier to transitioning into OT security. If you're coming from IT security, you want to upskill with that additional knowledge and experience. If you are coming into this from another field, for example, safety engineer or someone who works in network engineering, you really want to understand where to start, and we don't have those ready resources. There is also the challenge that we have a number of specialist and proprietary devices and protocols. You know, you've got various vendors, Siemens, Schneider, ABB, et cetera. And you've got a whole range of protocols that often people don't come across at all during their IT security training. You know, Modbus, of course, is one of the kind of longest standing protocols in this area, but others like Ethernet IP, DNP3, Siemens S7. And so on and so forth. And you need to understand all these nuances if you're going to do security analysis of these kind of systems. So what should you do if you're coming into OT security? Hypothetically, you can do what we've been doing previously, adapt Kali with additional tools, but where do you start? Okay, what tools are out there? What's available? Okay, you have to go and find all this information out. Also, many tools are old and not maintained. Okay, so they are available on repositories on GitHub, and they haven't been maintained for a very, very long time, but they are still useful on a number of older equipment that still remains widely deployed. But you have to not only deploy them, but you have to resolve all the various dependencies and make sure that they work out of the box, which is in itself a bigger challenge. But they still require that specialist knowledge. Okay, if you don't know what a Modbus frame looks like, you know, using a tool to analyze Modbus is not really going to help a lot. Or you can roll your own platform, which is time consuming. And again, you have the same problem. There is not really a kind of common platform that everybody can use and also exchange ideas around. Tools are also only part of the problem. What about exercises to apply those tools? So, for example, in the IT security space, you can go and go and join various online platforms and do a range of exercises. Where do you start? How do you build the basics about understanding what the OT security issues are? And, you know, we don't have the ready resources like we have for IT security, like the Damn Vulnerable Web App or OWASP's Juice Shop, et cetera, that you can simply download and, you know, run in a Docker container or in a virtual machine to learn about, in this case, web security in the first instance. So this is what we have been doing. We have built a Linux-based platform called Linux, basically Linux for ICS, as you can imagine. And this is meant to provide a one-stop resource for OT security professionals to do security analysis of these environments. What we have done is the MITRE ATT&CK framework is quite widely known in industry, and there is a specific variant for industrial control system security. So we've taken the various tools that are out there, or we have packaged the older tools into containers, resolving the various dependencies, making sure they work properly, as well as some regular IT security tools that are also useful in this kind of environment, because yes, there is IT deployed in these settings as well. And they're all mapped to the various stages of the MITRE attack framework, which means that when you come to doing your OT security analysis, you know what tools you need to use, for example, to investigate initial access or persistence or discovery of devices and systems in these kind of environments. And this is a fully fledged Linux-based platform. It is based on Debian 12, and we are currently using, I'll come to this, but we are currently using in the free boot camps that we are providing in our area, which is the southwest of England, and we are also going to release it publicly online shortly afterwards as a resource for the community, freely available and openly available, similar to what, for example, Kali or other platforms do. So here is an example of the kind of tools that you can see available. So this is stage 8 collection in the MITRE attack for ICS. And you can see here that we have some of the kind of standard IT network analysis tools. So things like Nmap and ARPScan and so on, and also Wireshark for capture of traffic. But we also have some of the specific OT focused tools here, so things like SMOD, which does which is focused on Modbus, or the Industrial Security Exploitation Framework, or the Industrial Security Framework, which look very much like Metasploit but provide specific modules and exploit generation capabilities for OT environments. We've also got scripts like PLC Scan that have been packaged so that that they work on some of the kind of older devices that people can use out of the box. And we've also written a couple of new tools, mainly this tool called Zathrix, which provides an easy to use way to identify ICS devices on a network and gain insights into them. This is very much targeted at people who are sort of moving into this, perhaps don't necessarily want to use something like Nmap or all the syntax. That it's more of a point and click interface that people can utilize. And here you can see an example. So, for instance, this is an example of the PLC scan script, which is a script available now for quite a while. And you can launch it. There is also manual pages, so you can find out what are the various settings that you need to do, and you can just simply use this from within the terminal within your environment. So I mentioned the MITRE attack stages and impact. These are, of course, quite well known in the community, and you go all the way from initial access, execution, persistence, privilege escalation. The thing that I wanted to particularly highlight was these last three, okay, which are the specific OT nuances. So what attackers may want to achieve as outcomes. Of course, in the IT world, as we all know, we care much more about CIA, confidentiality, integrity, availability. They are also important because they are, of course, industrial secrets in these kind of environments, and there can be significant impact from those. But actually, safety, reliability, and availability of the process itself is really, really important. And these are the impacts that an attacker may want to achieve towards the end. They may want to inhibit response functions so that when you, for example, want to take corrective action in response to the attack, you cannot execute those actions. So, for example, when you want to go and shut down the system through a safety mechanism, that safety mechanism is no longer available. A big example of this would be the Triton attack in the on the energy plant in the Middle East, where the attacker was on the safety controller. The attacker may want to impair process control, so that it continues to drive the process to an unsafe state, or a state that that causes damage in the long term. And they may want to achieve other types of impact. So they may want to achieve loss of availability, loss of safety, and so on. And one needs to understand these OT nuances if one is going to do proper OT security and develop countermeasures for these kind of environments. And this is really where the need for hands-on training with OT devices and platforms comes into play. There is a variety of vendors. So this is an example of two of the our training boxes. This is something that we use. It's a unique thing that is part of our training. We take these sit on the trainee's desk along with, in this case, the Linux platform, and people learn to do attacks and defenses against these devices and these systems, which are, smaller scale versions of the real systems that are deployed out there. And of course, this in itself is not going to make you the ultimate expert in OT security, but this does provide you with the baseline to then build more and more experience around that, rather than just working on simulators or environments which do not actually provide any direct experience on these kind of systems. One of the key things to also bear in mind is that the devices and systems have various nuances. They also often break depending on what you do to them in terms of security analysis. And unless you really properly understand those nuances, as an OT security person, you can often inadvertently cause a disruption rather than simply just investigate what are the security problems. So this hands-on training is fundamentally important. And one of the things that we are really passionate about is that, of course, we get that kind of hands-on training for IT security because we can use virtual machines and those kind of environments to have a fairly realistic representation of what IT systems look like. We can't get that through simulation or simply virtualized setups in the OT setting. So we do need to bring these kind of devices closer to the trainees so that they can have that hands-on experience and have real insights into what it means to work with OT security settings. There is a number of things that we do. We work with organizations to upskill their teams. This can be IT security teams who want to build OT security capabilities. So example of this would be that we would run training on hands-on attacks against ICS. I've been working in the security space for a very long time. Of course, all of this has to be done with an ethical mindset, but we cannot expect to be able to defend systems if we do not know how to find vulnerabilities and where the attackers will target the systems. So understanding of attacks is an important part of being able to build defenses against those attacks. We also, for example, train them on network security, both attacks and defenses for ICS networks. How do you do ICS security architectures? Where do you deploy the various controls to mitigate against different types of attacks? One of the things that tends to be quite attractive is ICS security for safety engineers. There is often a feeling that safety engineers do not want people to interfere with their systems because it may compromise safety properties, and for good reason, because of course when you are wanting to ensure that your system will respond within that kind of very, very narrow time frame or will respond under particular conditions in a very certain manner, if you can't be sure of the additional controls that you're deploying and what their implications for that might be, that causes rightly serious concern from a safety standpoint. So one of the things that often is quite helpful is that we can help safety engineers understand what are the security possibilities, what are the implications, and in that sense, that also upskills the safety engineers, but also brings the bar up for the organization because they then are more involved and an equal stakeholder within the security of the environment rather than just the security team coming in and saying you must do X, Y, or Z. There is also risk management for managers and board members, understanding what is the distinction between IT and OT systems, what kind of risks should they be considering, and getting some hands-on experience and seeing what the implications of that is in terms of the business priorities and business continuity can be a very valuable thing. And then, of course, what is your ICS security baseline? If you're running a very large-scale environment, what is your baseline, and how do you then architect that for NIST and other regulatory compliance? And of course, organizations that use OT can vary quite a lot. So we also do bespoke courses to suit an organization's need and sectors. We also do a lot of work to empower candidates as well. As I mentioned, we have just built Linux 1.0, which we will be releasing shortly, late March, early April. This will have the ISO image for anyone to download and install into a virtual machine or on a computer itself. We will also provide virtual machine images for the major platforms like VMware, VirtualBox, KVM. There are easy to use tools within there. We have sort of built a launcher which people can use if they're not very familiar with Linux-based environments and tools like Strathrix. But as I mentioned, we've also packaged the legacy tools for ease of use and mapped them to MITRE attacks so that it's easily to understand, depending on which attack stage you're exploring, what kind of tools do you need to use. And we will do the usual stuff. So there will be release notes, including known issues that we have already found, and with the platform and troubleshooting for those, because of course all computers are different, and when people install them, there can often be some challenges. We will also have a mechanism to report issues, but this is going to be a community resource, so we also want other people to contribute. So if you're writing a tool for OT security and you want it to be part of Linux, get in touch with us. Okay, we'd love to talk to you as to how we might integrate that into the platform for everybody else to use. And one of the things that we found really positive is that when we reached out to some of the people whose tooling we are using, they've been very supportive to say, yes, please do include it. And it's been really good to get that support from members of the community. Elliot mentioned at the beginning that we are running these boot camps in the Southwest. We've already done two. So we ran one yesterday in Cheltenham, which was really excellent. It was great to work with a room full of people who were from a range of different backgrounds, either coming from IT security background or just students or newcomers who want to go into OT security, and working with them and getting them some hands-on experience on Linux and using the various tools. We are going to be running two more, one on a Thursday and one on Saturday in Exeter and Bristol. If I'm not wrong, they are full and there is a waiting list, but if you are interested and you are in the Southwest and you'd like to attend, please do get in touch, because people are also good enough to cancel if they can't attend, so we may have extra spaces available. We also, as an organization, we go and do talks and starter workshops at B-sites and similar events to give people that flavor of what it means to do OT security, and working with our training boxes and the tooling that we've been building. And now that is kind of more formalized into the Linux platform. And of course, we come from an academic background, so we're really passionate about supporting students as well. So in May, we will also be running a hands-on session at the UWE, University of West of England Cyber Wings Conference, which is being run by their student society. So just to round off, what is our mission in all of this, right? And what we want to do is we want to basically move the kind of OT security space, this skilled OT security professionals, from what looks like on the left hand side to the right hand side. We want to train more OT security professionals to address this gap in OT security skills, and bring it more at par with you know, the number of people who understand IT security. How do we plan to bridge this gap? We plan to bridge this through our philosophy of hands-on training, using our training boxes, which provide this first-hand experience of working with OT devices and systems, and through the Linux platform so that people have a resource which they can readily use and deploy, and that can be added to by us and by the community. So that's really me. I think I am on time, so I'm happy to stop here and take questions.
That's awesome. Thanks, Awais. And I think it's fair to say, and this to me is really unique. I'm not aware of any other organizations that are making practical hands-on ICS and OT cybersecurity training this accessible. It's typically quite difficult barrier to entry with getting that sort of first bit of experience and knowledge. So it's great to see it. And I hope that, you know, the boot camps, you know, something that people can sign up to if they're interested in and are accessible again in the future, because it looks like they've been a great success. I guess the first question is, you've got different parts to the Hacktonics kind of organization. So you've got the boot camp training, and then you've got the bespoke courses and the platform. Who do you think will benefit from each side of the business? I'd assume the boot camp training would benefit maybe different individuals than maybe the bespoke courses would. So could you walk us through it?
Yeah, so the boot camp training is really to provide people with an early flavor of what it does and what it means to do OT security. And in many ways, I would say there are kind of three different layers to this. So the boot camps are really to bring new people into OT security. This is, you know, if you are unsure if this is the thing for you, or you're just interested, you work in cybersecurity, you want to transition into this, or you work in IT security, you want to come and get some experience, that is what they are for. The kind of workshops that we run at events like B-Sides and what we're running at the Cyber Wings conference, they are for those who already have some experience and they want to kind of really get that kind of hands-on, you know, knowledge to just, you know, get their, you know, get some direct experience on equipment and systems. And then the courses, specifically in bespoke courses, are really there for organizations, because as an organization, you know where your capability gap is, or we hope you know where your capability gap is, and you want to specifically target courses, and they could use one of our pre-built courses, of which we have a number of them available, or they can come to us and say, well, these are my particular needs, can you craft a particular course for me for these kind of objectives, and we can do that. So it's at those different levels.
Awesome. And what do you see as the biggest challenges to bridge the skills gap for IT security professionals? What's typically the sort of the main barrier preventing people, and in your experience so far?
I think there is a number of things, and I'm going to sort of start, and maybe then Joe wants to add to this. I think the first thing is that I think first is a myth, which I think we should bust, which is that you can just bring your IT security knowledge and just deploy it in these environments. Yes, some IT security knowledge is very, very helpful, but you need to understand what various types of OT systems and devices are. You need to understand where the potential issues are going to be. You need to understand how these systems are architected. What are the implications of, for example, pen testing on live systems, and how do you go about doing that? That's a whole different skill set that you need to develop. But also, if you've never worked in an OT environment, if you've never experienced an OT environment, you know, theory is great, but if you haven't ever had that experience, that's the biggest challenge. And yes, you can go and buy a PLC on eBay, but to wire it, to work with it, is a massive effort in itself. Not everybody has that skill. There is none of that kind of ready availability of devices that are kind of pre-configured, pre-set up in what would be a realistic OT setting and being able to work with them. So I think that's the one first barrier. And the other barrier is exactly that, you know, a lack of availability of sufficient tools. So we've done this mapping to MITRE ATT&CK, and there is a huge gap in a number of stages where the tools are not available, and where they are available, how do you go about actually utilizing them? And they, in many cases, do look similar to some of the IT security tools, but there are loads and loads of nuances. So yesterday, we were running our bootcamp in Cheltenham, and we used the SMOD tool, and people were saying, well, this looks a lot like Metasploit. Yes, it does, but you need to understand Modbus and how Modbus works, and how do you set the various options and those things for it, for you to be able to deploy it. And that is non-trivial. If you haven't trained for that, you can't do that. Joe, do you want to add something?
I think most of it, the accessibility just to get to devices and the software and using it is a big barrier, because there are some, you know, sort of free open source simulator type things that people can use, like some honeypots and things like MPLC, but they aren't real devices. They aren't using the real software. And you know, if anybody's used something like Siemens Tier Portal or something like this, it's not software you can just go and use or understand all the little nuances about how it works and configuration details and like this. So a major part of it is being able to actually get hands-on with a PLC or other devices and use them within a realistic setting of how they actually operate and react to things happening and things, which you can't very get easily. It said, if you do go and buy a device on eBay, you've got to power it somehow. And that's not easy to do to get it safe, you know, a safe power supply for a PLC in your bedroom. And these are things. So that could be quite a big challenge to just get access to the stuff, to start playing with the real protocols, the real devices on an actual PLC and the real software. Because if you buy a Siemens PLC, you're still going to go and buy the software, which itself is very expensive. And that cost then adds up, you know, very, very quickly.
Because that, yeah, makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's as I said earlier, it's not something I've seen readily available so far. So I'm sure it could make a big difference for those that are, you know, actively trying to pursue a career, but maybe haven't had their first steps yet. But what would you also, for organizations, say, you know, is the value to organizations? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe are leading the security front for OT environments or ICS and actively need to make change, but might not have the resources at hand or have a large upskilling job to do with existing staff. You know, how would you describe, I guess, the overall benefit for organizations and you know, what they can get out of it and how it differs from, you know, other options in the market?
So I think so security is always, you know, one of those things where you don't necessarily see the ROI. Right. And the cliche that I have heard for years is, you know, if you deployed the various kind of security mechanisms, was nothing ever going to happen, or did you stop the attacks and you don't know? Right. So it's those kind of things. And I mean, there are things on which, you know, you can see spam kind of coming through or malware coming through, but it's actually you don't know how many attacks you really always thwart or what wasn't going to happen. And there are a lot of also OT security platforms in terms of controls and so on. The whole market about intrusion detection systems has exploded in this area and so on. And that brings me to where the value to the organization is. So you can either go and buy various platforms, various kind of, you know, security mechanisms and deploy them and hope that they work. You can have a skilled workforce that can make informed decisions about what platforms to choose, what to deploy, understand what comes out of them, utilize that intelligently, and then, you know, improve the security posture of your organization. So I firmly think that people are the biggest asset any organization can have in terms of security, and particularly for OT security. So unless and until we have teams that are trained to understand where the security problems are going to be, what kind of things do they need to mitigate against those security issues? And then how do we regularly monitor the security state, the security posture? How do we improve? And that's really where training comes in. Training is also not static in this area, right? So organizations, you know, which deploy these kind of infrastructures have a whole plethora of devices and systems. It often tends to be a patchwork of old and new, different vendors. Often new parts are required, new organizations are required and integrated into the existing organization. Understanding all of that is non-trivial. So unless we have skilled people, we won't be able to make informed choices. And then we also continue with this problem that security always is seen as a bit of a cost sink for which you never really understand the ROI.
Okay, I'm going to move just quickly because we've got one question coming in from the Q&A from Aaron. Let me just show this on the screen here so you can see it. So Aaron's seen you that obviously noticed that you both lecture at universities and wondered if there's a skills gap that you've noticed right from the start and how universities and lecturers support the implementation of fundamental IT training in these environments so students can grow a natural interest.
Joe, do you want to pick this up?
In our wars, we do run a master's course in infrastructure security at the University of Bristol. So this is the only sort of course in the UK that sort of focuses on OT security at its core. So we've run this now for about 6 years in various forms, teaching this hands-on with the similar sort of equipment that we use for the company as well. So it's, we try and get in early with them there. So as I said, at master's level, like postgraduate, so we expect students to come from sort of, computer science background related to come and you have a good technical, you know, computer understanding and maybe networks and things, and then we can teach them the OT side there. And we are getting some interest from sort of the other side of more engineers want to come and do the course as well. So it is a bit of in there. I mean, there's, I don't think it's been anything sort of undergraduate level. So again, I'm at a much younger age. We do try and get undergraduate students involved. So, you know, we do student projects and things where they're doing the dissertation, we'll stick them on our test bed and get them a PLC doing something deeply technical. You know, we tell them at the start, you're gonna have to really put time and learn, but you know, you're gonna learn something valuable from this. And you know, even different things like testing devices, vulnerabilities and stuff like this, we've had lots of students doing these sort of projects. So it's hard for us to do this. I mean, a lot of people don't have the resources we do. We really sort of strategically got into this quite early on. There are a few, you know, sort of units of universities around the country, but it's not an easy thing to do at scale with students. And we put a lot of time and effort into trying to do that.
And so to get people out.
And it's get people going out into industry with a much better sort of baseline understanding to then go and get more practical experience outside afterwards.
So I wanted to add something here. I think that, so Aaron, it's a great question. And, you know, we need to tackle this at kind of various levels, right? And one of the things is that we also have to excite people much before university that this is an area. And when we do any work with schools, okay, it's really interesting because school children get it. Okay, if you sort of highlight to them that this is about protecting the systems on which we rely every day, okay, that kind of social impact or the implications on society becomes very, very clear. And, you know, very much so a lot of people who want to come into security, not everyone, but a lot of people want to come into security, want to do something that benefits the wider society. And actually emphasizing that these are things on which we rely every day. And, you know, people can have a part to play in securing them on an ongoing basis, can already create that mindset. I think the other point I wanted to emphasize was this point about scaling up. And that's really where our training equipment comes into play, because normally you would build a big kind of monolithic test environment. You can't put 30, 60, 90 people on that single environment, right? But you can put 30, 60, 90 boxes on desks for people to do that stuff. Similarly, if you have to roll every single thing on its own, it's really hard. But if you've got a single platform like Linux and you can basically give it to people and say, go, and now you can use this and everything is quite clearly mapped out, that provides that scalability that we've not had before. So I think there is a combination of these things that we do need to address.
Very good. And thanks, Aaron, for the question. It was kind of bringing me into as well, like if there is people watching that are considering either a career change or entering the career at the beginning of, you know, maybe they just come out of university or college. What do you think are the critical skills and mindsets needed to succeed?
Very interesting. I think there is the kind of more general thing that all security people need. You know, you need to have that mindset of looking at the system that is in front of you in a different way, looking at it from that kind of attacker or adversarial mindset and thinking, how would we go about, you know, breaking into this system, and thinking about that and coming at it from that standpoint, natural curiosity, okay? Not being willing to quit as someone who just kind of endlessly spends time either finding a bug or fixing a bug. I can tell you that is a kind of, you know, that almost relentlessness is a great skill to have. But from an OT standpoint, a real interest in understanding how these kind of systems interact with the real world. Okay, because it's not just computing equipment involved or controllers involved. There is physics involved. Okay, these systems behave in different ways. And interestingly, when you're an attacker, you can hide in those kind of thresholds and margins to hide yourself while you are lurking or doing things or causing some damage or gathering some information. And actually understanding that this is not just a computing environment, this is a cyber physical environment. And having an interest in that, okay, and frankly be, you know, willing to kind of understand that is a key skill to have. So that natural curiosity about where this technology interfaces with the real world and how the impacts on the real world can be a huge difference. Joe, anything to add?
No, I don't think it's so much on, but just thinking about the previous question about the sort of student side. So I think certainly, you know, when we've had students come into our sort of workshops at B-Sides and come into the boot camps over the last few days, a lot of these have never touched it before. They've just sort of seen the event somewhere advertised and then thought that's an interesting side. And when they speak to them afterwards, they all seem very keen on go further into that, because, you know, what boot camps can we do? What other training can we do? You know, we're trying to put them to then, you know, some future stuff we're doing just gets a bit more deeper technical. So I think given people opportunity to come and see it, that really gets the students in. Similarly, we went to CTF at the university on ICS, now did our third year this year. We fund students to come to that for sort of a day of training and 2 days of just pure hacking ICS with as bad made devices we could fit in a room. And that really gets students who haven't touched before into it. They actually do quite well in these. So I just thought about the previous question as we were talking then.
No, perfect. This sounds good. Yeah. Okay. And then also, I guess this is looking ahead now more around the future of ICS security. Can you look ahead and see, I guess, emerging trends or threats in OT security that professionals and organizations should be preparing for?
So I think there are a number of things that we need to think about. And one of the key things is that already the scale of these infrastructures is very large. And there is a lot of heterogeneity. So you've got mixture of devices, mixtures of platforms, and so on. We are already seeing convergence between IT and OT. We already know that there are those links because for good reason, you want to get real-time business intelligence. You want to optimize things in real time. But we are also seeing that convergence between IoT and OT, where platforms are being used to IoTify legacy controllers and data being pulled into cloud platforms for aggregation analysis and so on and so forth. And quite a while ago, we demonstrated an attack where you compromise a cloud platform, use it to pivot onto the critical system and drive it to an unsafe state. So I think it's those are the kind of things where as new technologies come into play, there is going to be more and more focus on that. So we hear about things like SCADA in the cloud, for instance. You know, can we run SCADA in the cloud? We hear about, you know, utilizing software-defined networking in these kind of environments. And actually, it was Joe's work that showed that rogue controllers can cause, you know, problems to real-time properties of protocols in these kind of environments. And of course, we can't not talk about AI, because increasingly people are going to think that that's going to solve all our problems, but that is also going to generate new types of problems as well, because it's also a tool in the hands of attackers. So I think all those things we do need to think about and be concerned about, but also more and more the infrastructures are being linked to each other and the dependencies that arise from there, you know, and that convergence is going to cause future problems. I'll go back to my earlier point. I think the technologies are going to evolve. You know, security mechanisms are going to evolve. But if we don't have a skilled workforce or, you know, the people capability, we won't be able to not tackle the threats, but also not be able to protect systems effectively. And I think that's really where the key challenge is going to be.
So more starting with the fundamentals, get the right people in place and get the, you know, get the right fundamental skills and priorities worked on. And then it'd be a much better place to react. Great stuff. Anything to add to that, Joe? Because if not, I think we're sort of we're approaching the end and concluding, but I just wonder if you have anything to add to the the direction of ICS Curie.
I mean, there's going to be more attacks and there's going to be more specialized malware because obviously the frequency is increasing. You know, every year we see more and more specialized malware coming out from sort of Dragos and Mandiant analysis. And we heard about more attacks, successful and unsuccessful. And you know, all the things like the Unitronics things from last year before. And so there's more attacks happening more frequently, at least we're hearing about. And obviously probably a lot more we're still not hearing about. So I mean, the overall threat is increasing, you know, quite quickly. The device security is improving. You know, there's that new one vendor, like it might be Honeywell or Mitsubishi, has done a sort of secure backplane device recently. So that's getting better. But it's still going to be a long time before that starts spreading into, you know, deployments, because the stuff being set out now today still has 10, 15, 20 year lifespans, and it's still not necessarily secure. It's still got a lot of the same issues that our business before, you know, insecure by default and things like this. So, you know, attackers are getting more frequent, attacks are getting worse. The defenses are still quite far behind, and are going to take a very, very long time to propagate to give us that better secure state itself. And that's where, as Ray says, a lot of the fundamental stuff of, you know, setting the password on a device or doing the access control of these things, good segmentation that we could teach engineers how to do and, you know, consultants how to consult on, that can help stop these problems now whilst the technology catches up and starts getting, you know, the penetration and the usage in the real world where it actually then starts making that difference.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Right. We'll conclude there. I think it's been a really interesting, insightful conversation with you guys, and thank you a lot for taking the time to share, I guess, the you know, the business plans and what you're doing with the community. I'd recommend, if anyone's interested in looking at the boot camps or the training courses or the Linux platform that the guys have built, check out the Hacktonics website. I think actually it was on the slide, wasn't it? Is it hacktonics.io? Hacktonics.io. So all of the information you'll find, boot camps, yes, training courses, etc., and the platform there, and future resources. And obviously, you know, you can reach out to Joe or Arrays or, you know, myself if you've got any questions or you want more information. And we'll make sure that we get that to you. But thanks everyone for joining today. Pleasure to run another session. We'll be back with more in the future. So keep an eye out on LinkedIn for more announcements on more talks. And I hope everyone has a nice evening.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. Speak soon.